And welcome to yet another She Speaks. My name is Maureen Alexander, and my guest today is none other than a warrior and a survivor. Amen. Oh, she is none other than
Leslie and Modeste.
Yes. All right. So, good morning, Les.
Good morning, and welcome. Good morning, listeners.
It is an honor.
Thank you.
We would like to say thank you very much because we were trying for the month of October to try to get at least somebody that is impacted in some way, form, or shape to the disease, and we're honored that you decided to take us up on that offer. So
really
good morning,
appreciate it. Really
and welcome.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Welcome to She Speaks. Yet another beautiful Tuesday, and we're about to delve into your story.
Definitely.
Full time.
I
mean, first off, we would like to know a little bit about you personally. I mean, a lot of people might know you because of you. When it's time to file the taxes, we always hear or see her. So I guess a lot of people know who Leslie Ann is. On a professional side.
Definitely.
But we really would like to know a little bit more about who is Leslie Ann growing up, what was growing up like, where were you born, you know, all of these little things, husband, no husband, children, no children, you know, we minding your business in other
ways. It would appear so. It doesn't matter. I am a Trinidadian by birth, but right. I have been in St. Lucia for the better part of my life. My dad was the St. Lucian and my mom the Trinidadian. So I am a Trini Lucian, really and
That's
truly.
Right.
I am a Trini. You don't give up on anything.
No.
A past student of the Canon Laurie Anglican School.
So you were born in Trinidad, but you came here what age?
I say maybe 1-2 years and stuff like that. I'm a Lucian.
You're a Lucian, man.
That's right.
Not Trini Lucian.
That is correct. So I attended the Anglican School, Canon Laurie Anglican School, and a proud past student of the St. Joseph's Convent.
Wonderful.
Yes.
What was growing up like? I mean, did you
here
go
and
back
there,
and forth?
Yes. Holidays were.
Okay.
It was my holidays were fat because part of the holiday was in Super with my grandparents, mm-hmm. and the other half was in Trinidad with my other grandparents.
Wow.
So it was really nice. Growing up was fine. Very close knit family. Very close knit. 2 boys, 2 girls. That was us growing up. So summers were fine. At that time, you look forward to the summer. So you were there with your neighbors, going to the beach,
wow.
going with family, doing family things, and just having lots of fun and being a kid, really and truly.
Wonderful.
Yes.
What was some of your, when you were as a kid, what was some of the aspiration? What were some of the things that you, well, you
at
mentioned
time,
the beach, so you like the beach.
I like the beach.
So were you thinking about anything you want to do?
Oh gosh, not at all. just enjoy it. At first, I wanted to be a doctor.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, because at that time, that was all you had.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor, lawyer, you know, that
yes.
type of thing.
A policeman or a teacher?
Teacher, too.
Teacher, yeah.
But then, having been a student and seen some other things and stuff, I said, boy, if I became a teacher, I think I would either strangle somebody's child along the way.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
No. At that time, no. So I am a consummate public officer. I opted to work in the public service, and I have spent all my working life within the Inland Revenue Department. So you can say I'm like historical data.
Right.
historical data of the department. But being a public officer, I have always enjoyed being a public officer.
Yeah.
I have always enjoyed being at the front end of, in terms of service delivery.
Because
I have always liked meeting persons, speaking to persons. I find people to be very interesting.
Absolutely.
Very interesting.
Any kids, any marriage, any husband, any suffering?
No suffering in terms of childbirth, not at all. I have no kids.
Wow.
I have not been blessed with kids, but all my nieces and nephews, I am their mom. You all hear that, brothers and sisters?
Was it a conscious decision to not have kids?
No, health-wise, no.
Health-wise?
Yes,
wow.
yes.
Does it bother you?
No. Maybe when I was a lot younger, because, you know, growing up, you want to get married, you want to have the kids, you want to do all these things. Those were the chronological steps we ladies like to have.
Right.
And when I learned it wasn't meant to be.
Right. You made peace with it.
That is correct. So, and my nieces and nephews, they fill that void, and they continue to fill that void.
Oh, absolutely amazing. When we come back, we're going to delve into the public service and your stint and how it all started for you there. So let's take a break again, a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. We'll get into the professional side of Miss Modest when we come back. Keep it locked on. It's Radio Caribbean International. She speaks for yet another blessed morning. Our sponsors, of course, is GK Insurances, the agents here in St. Lucia, EC Global Insurance Agency.
Women are not just angels on the road. They are angels off-road, too. GK Insurance, through its agents, EC Global Insurance Agency, brings you Angel Advantage Plus. Get a level of coverage, support, and added value worthy of the high standard you set yourself every day. Contact us today at 451-3244. Angel Advantage Plus from EC Global Insurance Agency plus GK Insurance. Our strength is on your side.
In case you're just joining us, my guest this morning is Miss Leslie Ann Modest, and she is a warrior and a survivor of cancer, and we are about to she spent all her life in the public service.
Yes,
she just mentioned a little bit of it, so we're about to delve into that. When did it all start for you? When did the
started working in the public service?
Yes.
In 84, so I have been there a long time, you know.
How did it start? What was it like? Okay, you graduated.
I graduated, and I had the option of continuing studying or going to work.
Right.
I think at that time, I was like, you know, I said to my parents, I am tired of going to school. I want to work. Want to work, and I want to help.
Right.
So even if I wanted to continue on, at least I could have had some kind of funds to assist in doing that.
Right.
But I entered Inland Revenue, and that was my first place of employment, and it continues to be my place of employment.
Was it an
easy transition?
Job was advertised, or was it someone recommended that you, or did you know for a fact this is where I wanted to go?
I know I wanted to work, and I got the opportunity in the public service to work. As to the preferred department, that was not an option. At that time, there was a space available. You know, they were recruiting employees. And I was so pleased at the Inland Revenue Department. The Inland Revenue Department, to me, and it continues to be a unique environment. A unique environment filled with many characters in terms of my work colleagues. But very diversified in what we do. So no matter what part of the Inland Revenue we at, and I have always been in customer service, more or less, call it customer service to the end, I have always gotten the opportunity to interact with the public.
Right. And you've been in that customer service?
Yeah, different parts, but always front end. Always front end. No matter where I'm placed, I've always had the opportunity to mingle with people. Mingle with people to tell them about their rights and responsibilities, to guide them, to show them, to help them. And ideally, that's one of the responsibilities of any public officer. The bottom line is that we're there to serve. We may not be able to serve you maybe as quick as you want, but we're there to serve, especially in working within the Inland Revenue Department. And experience shows that not many persons like us, in inverted commas, not for our personalities, but because of what we do. But somebody in society has to administer the tax laws, and we're there to do it. If you're not happy with what we're doing, I think it's all only fair, especially when we're front end, that it's your right as an individual to pull us up every now and then. Because we're there to serve, we're there to guide you. If you're not clear about what we're telling you, you ask the questions. So in any situation, it is an opportunity. If we're speaking to you in our language, you need to tell us, break it down, people, break it down, so that I could really and truly understand what are my rights and obligations as a taxpayer in St. Lucia.
Speak to your growth process within that department. And
yes, I started off as at that time we were called junior supernumerary clerks, temporary clerks, and then we came on to the clerk. Then we had internal training, because at the time we had internal training at Inland Revenue. So I went up to a tax officer 1, tax officer 2, senior tax inspector 1.
What's the highest level you can get?
Control of Inland Revenue. But that's a lot of headache, you know. I know, Mrs. BT. That's a lot of that. Just think about it. For the management of any organization, more so one that deals with taxation, you have the policy person, you have to deal with the administrators, you have to deal with the policy, you have to deal with your human resource, you have to deal with your external clients. It's a lot up there. So I commend everybody who's up there.
You don't have
I'm leaving aspiration. Soon. No, I'm leaving soon.
What's next?
Going into real estate, you know. I'm leaving soon. I'm leaving soon.
Real estate.
You have to look for something, you know. Okay. Something very lucrative.
All right.
So you never know, there might be a millionaire out there willing to invest in St. Lucia, and I could lead them to some real property.
And you think you've made enough connections and networking in your current
As an
job,
individual?
Right? Yes.
As an individual, yes.
Okay. Awesome. Talk to me now. You're a survivor of cancer, that deadly disease. We are now in the month of October. Yes. And I remember for a while we did not see you. Because you used to always come around that time when it was time to file the taxes.
Yes.
And then we got word that, you know, this is what you were actually dealing with.
Yes,
that was how long ago?
It
was
25 years ago, 2015. Right. In January of 2015, I was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Tell me about that diagnosis that day, how it all happened. Ooh. And what the reaction was like.
By me?
How did it happen then?
Not really. The year before, 2014, I found that I was very tired. Very tired. But I always put it down to work, you know, stress from work, because I'm a very active person. Right. I am a member of the Lions Club. I love carnival, so I take part in all kind of things. On the individual personal side, I like all these things. So July, August, you know. But coming home from work, I used to be exhausted, so I would just put down my bag and go to my bed, and you'd see me the next day. That was it. But I just put it back, and then I there was this, it looked like a mosquito bite.
Yeah,
it looked like a mosquito bite. So what is this? To me, it's a mosquito bite.
Right.
So Christmas time was around, you know. I put that on aside because it's Christmas time. I want to do cakes. I want to do But no, something, and it became this thought, you know, on a side, the context change.
Right.
Doctor time in January for me.
No pain or anything of that sort?
No, that's one of the things about cancer. It's said that painless. So you never know. So you put it down to anything else. But you know, I knew that something wasn't right.
Right.
Honestly, you know,
you
that
had
something,
that instinct.
Yeah, something wasn't right, but not that.
Yeah.
That's the furthest thing from your mind. And then when we went to Dr. Rari, was the doctor I went to, and when she did the biopsy, and she asked
did she know? So she, when you got there, that's what she recommended that you did.
Yeah, you could just look to see what's happening. So let's go in there and see what's happening. What's happening there? And so I was called back a few days, maybe a week after, for the results of the biopsy that was done. That was a hard time, just the wait, because you don't know what the results will be. I came with my partner, because I had gone to the doctor with my partner, and I came with my partner. I'm not doing this thing alone. I'm not doing this thing alone. And when she told us, because he was there, I think I must have cried on the not I think, I did.
What was going through your mind at that point?
What? Of all things, because I said, you know, of all things to, I had never been hospitalized in my life. I had never been hospitalized. I had never had any major illness per se to put me down. The common cold, yes. But to get that
kind of news.
Yeah. That hits me for a six, you know.
And what followed after? After you ball and
I went home, I called my family, I called everybody together. Mm-hmm. And I said to them, you know, this is what I had and this is what I have. Went up, sat down on the stairs, and I think I bawled down I live in Santosy. Mm-hmm. I think everybody in Santosy with me bawling. Everybody. In Santosy, heard me bawling. And I think my parents, when my dad had passed already, my mom thought I was going crazy. I think everybody thought I had just a screw head.
Yeah.
because nobody could have come around me. I was just screaming and screaming and screaming.
Wow.
I went to sleep. I got up.
You were able to sleep?
Yeah, well, yeah, sleep, after about an hour and stuff like that. I went to sleep. I shut down. And the next day, I started making calls. I said, I have to fight this thing. I have to, because at that time I didn't know what stage it was at or anything like that. I just knew I had it.
Right.
I started making calls. What can I do? I said to my family, I'm going to be this.
So after you screamed,
it
was totally your decision.
Yes.
You was the one who made that peace with yourself and said, okay,
yes,
this is what
I am going to be this. How I'm going to be this, I don't know. But I'm going to be this. And I started making calls. I called my cousins overseas and stuff like that. I made the decision. I mean, I went back to the doctor because our doctor did give me the options.
Right.
I could have done it here,
Mm-hmm.
But since I am of Trinidadian birth,
right,
I opted to do my everything I had to do outside of St. Lucia.
Right.
Saying it is one thing, getting the resources to do it was another slap, because it is very challenging for persons with any chronic illness.
Right.
But I can only speak to what I have.
Uh-huh.
To deal with the exorbitant cost of treatment, because all we're really and truly doing is trying to stay a little longer. Let me put it. What can we do to be able to get up every day in St. Lucia with our friends, with our family, and try as much to live a life that is normal. And get the resources were not there. So of course, you have to face the lending institutions, you have to face everything.
How difficult was it? Lending institutions. Was it any
Well, any lending institution will lend you once they know you have a backup.
Right.
So that's a challenge for a lot of us with cancer, because most persons don't have the means. You can have as many barbecues, as many dinners, as many dances, as many things as you want. It cannot meet your cost. It doesn't. It really doesn't. So, it helps.
Mm-hmm.
I'm forever grateful to that, because for me, my family and my friends came together, and whilst I was out and they had a boat ride and they had the barbecue, so it helped. But I also had, I am a member of the St. Lucia Civil Service Cooperative Credit Union, so they were there lending me. I went to other financial institutions. I went into my insurance. Let me tell you that. I explore every avenue, and friends supported and family supported, but that is me. There are so many persons who don't have that. And every day somebody is diagnosed with cancer, not necessarily breast, because cancer affects every part of your anatomy. So a lot of decisions, especially the older we are, some of us will say, you see me, I'm not going to burden my children. I'm not going to just, because it's expensive. I mean,
during that time, did it get so frustrating at any point that you decided, okay, I just can't do this anymore?
Those thoughts ran through, because going on chemo is hard.
Mm-hmm.
Taking chemo is hard. Some persons may just have to take it for four doses. I had 12. So, and the chemo will really beat you down, because whilst it's doing what it has to do, it's also affecting the other good cells. So, there are sometimes, because my immune system was so low, I couldn't go back and take the regime. So you have to wait until the system builds up again. And yes, you're given meds to help you with it. And I also believe in the natural. I believe the natural and the medical, prescribed can work together. So you try everything. You try everything. You listen to your doctor. You listen to the medical professionals. You listen to the natural professionals.
Yes.
We let me tell you, I read everything. There's a point in time my doctor said, stop in Trinidad, stop, because you go all day and you go on the internet and you see so many things. You bombarded with so many things that, you have to focus. Where are we living? We living in the Caribbean. Not everything that's all day we have access to. So it's a type of thing. And then you see yourself, you shrinking, it's an emotional thing because I had hair.
Thank you so much.
I had hair, and after the first round of chemo, the hair was on the pillow, you know.
Really?
In lumps. And
wow.
Jumping
that
off.
Must have been scary.
It is. But what I liked is that even before you do it, the doctor has they had this counseling. It's one thing to hate, but it's something else to go through it. And then when you go into the chemo, your body reacts differently. So you have the bone aching, you have the nausea, you have the vomiting, you have the constipation, you have the weight loss, you have the, you have it, you know. Chemo is hard on somebody. And then
what kept you during these times having to
my personality? A lot is my faith. And my personality, because I am of the disposition, I'm always this bubbly, happy person. And my personality kept me there. And I had my partner with me. Kudos to him. He gave up on work and he came with me for the better part of, and I was out for a long time for the better part. And he came back down to work and he came back again because I had to do the surgery. Surgery was another experience. You go in with your breast and you come out without it.
So
I'm laughing, but it's not funny.
Right. How does it feel?
Traumatic.
Because you don't have, like right now.
Yeah, I have one. Yeah.
You have one.
Yes.
Does it hinder your self-esteem in any way? It would
because, remember, you mm-hmm. you're there and you go into surgery, and then when you come out of surgery, and after when you unwrap all these bandages, and it takes a little thing for you to go in the mirror. I think all of us who are cancer survivors know it. You don't instantly want to go in front of the mirror, but you have to. It's part of the healing process that we have to go and look down and accept that we don't have that, and you. Well, I wasn't one with always wearing the cleavage because I'm not so well endowed.
I'll be a mess.
You will be a mess. But, you know, it affects the psyche. It affects you mentally and it affects you emotionally because now you have to change what...
In terms of you, I'll go because there's women that are listening and, you know, like in a relationship and, you know, as a woman, you have a man by your side, and how do you feel? How do you relate to that?
You have to be as a boy, he has to see this, and it's really hard on the women, you know, it's really hard on the women, but a lot has to do with your partner because
and the support.
When we're going through it, it's a plus for you to have, if you're married or if you're in a relationship, to have your partner there with you because, like you, they should go through the counseling as to what to expect because,
right,
you know,
right.
They know you one way and then you lose it. Yes, it's a part of the anatomy, but it's an important part for the physical aspect of any relationship if that is what you like.
So speak to, I think that's a lovely angle I would like you to, because having a supportive partner throughout the process and put other persons who may have partners. So speak to what about your partner that helped you to cope with that era of it, so that persons who have partners who probably have to go through would understand.
One, it is for us, it's something for me. One, mentally, we have to psych ourselves because we all into ourselves and what has happened to us physically. But then we have a partner, so it's happening to them too.
Right.
It's happening to them too because we are changing right before their very eyes. We are changing mentally because sometimes we may become depressed because we're seeing what has happened to us. And, you know, so they're feeling it. And we have to realize that they're there with us. We kind of like shun them away at times. We do. Let ladies, we've been real here.
Right.
I mean, we will put our partners away because of the fear of how do we appear to them. And, I mean, intimacy might be affected. Again, it has to do with the partner that you have, because there are some of us, our partners leave us along the way.
Wow.
You know, they leave. So you deal with your health issue, but it did not happen to me. Thank God for that. But it's always one of my concerns. It has always been my concern that, you know, this is who you knew me as, and this is who I am now. But it takes a lot, Maureen. It takes a lot that we have to psych up ourselves every day. Put on our clothes, you know, do this, get these. And in St. Lucia, you know, they have the parts that you can get to put in the bra, to put in your clothes. These things aren't readily available for a lot of us. So a lot of us have to go out and get the if those who go and put the have the funding and they get the implants.
Right.
Kudos for you sisters who up to go that route, but everything there's a side effect. So if we want to, but really and truly, I had to look at it like that's just some piece of flesh eventually that I had to take out in order for me to be alive today.
Right. So
right?
That's one of the way you made peace with it.
Yes, yes, yes. But you know, if you're somebody, like I say, if you're somebody into your looks and your hair, and it will have such a downing effect on you that sometimes some of us can't get out of it without the support and the professional help. And professional help helps, counseling helps, but it has to be available.
Right.
And even that is costly too.
Wow.
It's an all round thing, especially when we found ourselves with the disease, and you know, so you go through the chemo and you go through the surgery, the mastectomy or the double mastectomies for those of us who have to don't have a choice but to have it all off, and then you have to go and do radiation, and with radiation we get the burns, we get the burns. So some are far worse. So when we see ourselves, and that's why we have support groups like Faces of Cancer or the Cancer Society that allows us to have the conversation. So when you see yours and then you see another sister, and some men have breast cancer too, men, so don't think I'm only speaking to ladies.
That's right.
And we have to do the radiation and you get horribly burned and your skin drops off, and it's really and truly it makes you any chronic disease, but cancer in particular, can either make or break you. But you have to make the conscious decision with a lot of support and determination to continue to fight. Because having done all this thing, it's a change of a lifestyle. It's a learning lesson for all of us. Really and truly, it's a learning lesson for all of us. And it could have been avoided if we were living a healthier lifestyle. Some of us, it may not be because of genetics, but only even with genetics, we should have got a tap, a knock on our back that, you know, people, my brother, my father, my aunt, my grandmother, somebody in my family had it. Mm-hmm. So I should change, drop off the sugars, drop off the processed foods. And up to this morning, I was telling a colleague that we the ones who give our kids the sugar, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're the ones who put sugar in everything, coffee, tea, juice. We're the ones who buy the box products.
Right.
And we have the fruits in St. Lucia. So a child will only ask for something to be sweetened if from you've been given to them. So, so we need to approach this thing holistically. We need to say, okay, my kids, you know, I need to wean them off slowly but surely, because it's a change in lifestyle. It's a change in our eating habits. It's a change in we must drink water, has to be our best friend, because we hear it all the time on TV, on our doctors. Our doctors will tell us, drink lots of water, drink water, drink water at room temperature. And we say, I prefer the cold water.
Right.
We need to make a conscious effort to change the lifestyle. We have to start with the kids. For those of us, all of us, who we like the bread and we love the white bread.
Yeah.
And we love the cake and we love everything. I mean, I can't knock the private sector. I'm a business person, but they too have a responsibility. As individuals, we have a responsibility to change what we do, how we do it, and for the betterment of ourselves, all of us as a nation on a national level. I mean, we have to, the health sector, our whole thing has to change. And even our doctors, you know, all these doctors who are surgeons and oncologists, we have to put some mechanism in place, because can you believe every day a doctor and oncologist will tell you have this thing, and they too get affected too, having we bawl our hearts out in front of them, and we're so broken, and they're the ones to give that kind of information. So
absolutely,
it is really a change that we must make. It is not an easy journey. Anybody, I keep on saying it, and I think all cancer survivors or anybody who has cancer would tell you, we wouldn't wish cancer on our worst enemy.
Absolutely.
Enemy.
A woman, young woman that is out there, anybody out there that is probably just got the news you got 5 years ago, tell me as we wrap up, just what would you say to them?
I want to tell anybody who's gotten this news, especially if you're young or old, don't be despondent, don't be daunted. We have a chance. Be determined to fight. because we're fighting for our life. And if you value your life, you will do whatever it takes to beat this thing. It is not easy, but it can be done. And think about it. Anything we do in life, it's not an easy road for any of us. But we can do it. There are those of us who are cancer survivors or who are battling cancer, and it's a forever journey. Don't think when you do the chemo and you do the surgery and you do the radiation that that's it. We have to do our annual checkups. We have to do the mammograms. Ladies, do your annual mammogram. Please do it. Do any check you have to do. And check yourself. You know, we say check yourself for all other things. We need to check ourselves when it comes to our breasts, because I'm there talking about breast cancer. Yes. I mean, we need to be supportive of each other, family members. We need gentlemen or ladies not to give up on our partners, because I was not just speaking about a male-female relation. You know, support your partners through it all. Recognize that we're going to change. It's going to be a hard thing for us. Young people, we can fight. We can fight together, and we're there for each other. There will be trials. There will be challenges along the way, but your employer, the supportive employer, supportive family and friends, we can do it together.
Wonderful. Ms. Modest, thank you so very much for sharing your story, getting us into your life, into your world, and exposing yourself out there to us. But I'm sure someone out there somehow is been impacted and inspired through your story. As a survivor yourself, who better to get the information from? So
Definitely.
I'd like to thank you so much for joining us on She Speaks. And, you know, God bless you. Continue to be that advocate and continue to share your story to others who probably may need to hear a story from a survivor.
Thank you very much
for having me. Thank you so much, Leslie. Have a good one. So again, guys, our guest this morning was Miss Leslie Ann Modest, cancer survivor, been in the public service all her life. And she's just decided to share her story in the month of October with us on her overcoming breast cancer. She Speaks, of course, is going to be on again next Tuesday. So make sure you tune in. We'll have another guest at that time as well. So look forward to that. Thank you to our sponsors, GK Insurances, the agents here in St. Lucia, is EC Global Insurance Agency.